KQED.
This week, we're taking a deep dive into the topic of immigration in Silicon Valley. Federal lawmakers are considering proposals to attract and retain highly skilled talent, either as part of a comprehensive immigration package or in standalone bills like the Immigration Innovation Act, a.k.a. I-squared. That measure would more than triple the number of H-1B visas issued to foreign workers. Big tech backs I-squared, but there are serious questions about the program, as Sam Harnett reports.
Kriti Bajaj thought she'd found her way. She studied biology, graduated from Stanford University, and then went home to India for a PhD. But after a year, she realized academia just wasn't for her.
There's too many unknowns. Nothing was working. I was in this like dark little cell in the middle of nowhere.
Now she's trying to restart her life as a computer programmer back in the Bay Area. That's why she got a tourist visa and came here to App Academy, an intensive 9-week coding camp that teaches web development from scratch.
I log in, it sets some kind of cookie, then redirects me back to root. Any questions so far?
Bajaj hopes to graduate and get hired on an H-1B. That's the visa for high-skilled foreign workers. But she's fighting the clock. H-1Bs start getting allotted on April 1st. If she doesn't get a job offer before then, she'll have to wait another year to apply. That means back to India. Some say that if she does get an H-1B, she'll be robbing a job from an American.
If she's being hired for an H-1B visa based on 9 weeks of programming work, are you kidding me? Then it's an abuse of the visa.
Norm Matloff teaches computer science at the University of California, Davis. He says companies use H-1B visas to replace older U.S. programmers with younger, cheaper foreigners like Bajaj.
The central issue is wage and mobility.
Matloff argues that since employers sponsor H-1B visas, it's tricky for foreigners to negotiate higher salaries or switch jobs. They effectively get handcuffed to their employer at lower salaries. And that's why businesses want more H-1Bs, he says. But tech companies have a different story.
There aren't enough Americans that are educated to fill these jobs.
Dan Turrentine is a vice president for TechNet. The lobbying group got over 100 technology companies to sign a letter to President Obama and Congress, urging them to expand the H-1B program. Turrentine says the cap of 85,000 H-1Bs a year hasn't kept up with the demand for skilled tech workers.
That cap was set back in the 90s when the economy was much less dependent on technology.
Companies like Facebook, Google, and Hewlett-Packard all signed the letter. But the truth is, most H-1B holders aren't found at these companies, and they aren't at startups either. Nearly half work at places like Infosys and Wipro. These multinational IT workhorses churn out the unglamorous connective tissue of all modern business, the boilerplate coding, user support, and network maintenance. These kinds of companies bring workers to their U.S. offices on H-1Bs so that they can better interface between American businesses and their vast Indian workforces.
The abuse is widespread. It's across the board.
Matloff says instead of increasing the number of visas, we should be reforming the program to prevent outsourcing and wage discrimination. Ardit Barakhtari, a 32-year-old from Albania, agrees. He calls the current system indentured servitude.
It's crazy, but I'm getting used to it, so it's nuts.
Barakhtari is a hotshot developer who specializes in software for mobile devices. Like many programmers in Silicon Valley, he's hopped around, working at places like Mobi TV, Yammer, and Amazon.
If you want to keep your skill set up to date, you have to sometimes move companies.
But every time Barakhtari switches jobs, he loses his H-1B visa sponsorship and risks deportation.
It's like you have a sword on your neck and you have to find a job.
Barakhtari has been trying to get permanent residency for a decade so that he has more job flexibility. But like all H-1B workers, Barakhtari depends on an employer to sponsor him for a green card. So every time he changes jobs, he has to restart the application process all over again. He says companies drag their feet to keep him from switching jobs. At Amazon, he claims it took them nearly 2 years to start moving on the paperwork. It was like being back in Albania under communism.
To make things move forward, you have to threaten your company that you're not going to work anymore. It becomes a weird, weird situation.
The I-squared bill in the Senate has some provisions to try and address the challenges of H-1B job mobility. It would give employees a 60-day grace period between positions, but employers would still control the green card process. Barakhtari says if the government really wants to stop companies from abusing H-1B visas, it should give workers some control over their green card applications.
The H-1B holder should be able to do the green card petition himself and not the company, so you're not the slave of your company.
Barakhtari has worked here for over a decade. He has dreams of founding his own company, but he says the first step is to get a green card. Only then will he have the same work freedoms as his U.S. colleagues. For the California Report, I'm Sam Harnett.
You can listen to Harnett's story again and check out the other story in this series online at californiareport.org.